Calling the Dog with Chancy and Chi. And yes, we were a week behind, but man, we are happy that football is back. 2 weeks down and Dogs are 2-0. Sorry we were a little delayed last week. I had a little hurricane had to deal with. We were down here in the eye of the storm, literally. And so things got a little hectic down here. So last week was a little fun, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I texted you. I was like, man, my bad. I didn't even really think about it last week. And I was like, man, I hate that we weren't able to get together. And you were like, yeah, I like barely had internet. My lights were out, like power was out and all that. So, yeah, man, I'm just glad for the most part, everybody's doing okay down there. So, I hope y'all are able to get all the damage taken care of and all that.
Well, it's fun hearing all people's stories trying to get their lights on and then get logged into ESPN Plus to try to watch the game. it was trying to get grandparents and all that to be able to it was miserable. So anyway, everybody's
Wait,
safe and sound.
Do you have a story about how you were on the phone with somebody trying to explain, like a family member trying to tell them how to log in?
Yeah, I was definitely on the phone with my grandfather trying to tell him that he was wanting to know how to get on. And I'm like, okay, what do you see on your screen and doing all this stuff? I was in the Gulf with my wife's family, and then I was up there with him, and he was trying to explain to me, and he's like, it says no internet. I was like, well, this ain't looking good.
You sounds like you're SOL, brother. That's hilarious, though, because you're like the third person I've talked to that has been like, I had to sit there. Like, I had to sit there on the phone with my uncle for about 20 minutes to explain to him. I was like, Uncle Terry, do you have a streaming stick? And he's like, what the heck's a streaming stick? I'm like, oh Lord Jesus. And then he's like, well, I got a smart TV. I was like, oh gracious. I said, does it have an ESPN app on it? He said, yeah, it does. I said, hallelujah. So once we got to that point, it was a little bit easier. But you know, I'm also we were at the first week of college football. And you know, we're at the lake and we got six kids running around everywhere. And I, in the middle of it, I'm like telling my wife, it's like, sorry, I got to go take this 30-minute phone call to explain this to my uncle. So, not the greatest timing. And also, how do you do that to the number one team in the country? That's my question.
Well, all of this stuff with the scheduling and how this has all been set up, it's been so weird. And, just the last, because we were talking about all of our night games and whatnot, and then they're going to give us UT Martin at 6, and now they're giving us UAB at 7:30 in a couple weeks, and it's like, this kind of stuff is not what we're asking for. I don't think you understood what we were what the mission was, because you're not doing it. And so anyway, but we got football back. All the crazy off-season stories, everything that we've been talking about and leading up to, and what's going to happen in college football. And then, man, as soon as the first weekend kicks off, there's still not a lot of crazy matchups in the first 2 weeks. I mean, there have been some big ones, but college football is just being college football from the start, and I love it.
Yeah, it's great. Well, I mean, we started off – I mean, I'm not really going to count the week zero games, because, I mean, basically all that was Navy deciding to – go take a trip to Dublin, Ireland, just to have their ass whooped. So, other than that, there was nothing that really happened. Vanderbilt played Hawaii to the last minute. But then you start off the actual first week of college football with Florida getting beat on Thursday night. You gotta love that. And then Utah goes and struggles against, who did they play this last weekend? Was it Baylor, right? Yeah, they struggled against Baylor, who Baylor lost to Texas State by like two touchdowns the first weekend. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, what else? What other crazy things happened? Of course, LSU gets spanked. We've got Alabama and LSU for the first time, I think, ever. Well, sorry, this century, being 1-1 after week two. That's wild.
Florida State whooped them. I mean, they just owned that game, and then the Bama game this past weekend. it was the game of the dog transfers making plays. And but Texas went into Tuscaloosa and really just controlled that game. I mean, it was he was under pressure the whole time. That was probably the worst offensive line performance I've seen by a Bama team. And so you're just – it's already chaos. It's just there's so much going on. And Colorado is just being – I mean, this is unreal what's happening there. I mean, this is just – this is wild to watch, man.
One win. And you know, say what you will about Deion Sanders. And I'm like – I mean, I'm kind of 50-50 with Deion. Like some of it – sometimes I'm just like, man – like, this guy is just building this thing out of nothing. Like, obviously, these guys want to play for him. But then half the time, I'm also like, dude, just shut up. Like, we get it. Like, you're a different kind of coach. But, I mean, you also got to think about it, too. Like, he basically has, 86. So, that's over, or 86 or 89, something like that. He has over the allotted scholarship amount of new players on this Colorado team. And so, they're coming from being a one-win team last year to already doubling that in 2 weeks. And, I mean, have they played anybody? I don't know. We don't know what TCU is. I mean, TCU, I think there's definitely an overreaction from that because everybody's like, man, they made it to the national championship last year. Well, they also lost the national championship 65-7. So how good are they this year? I don't know. But I will say Sonny Dykes, great coach. Obviously, I think they're better than what they showed. But, man, Colorado is ESPN's not going to stop talking about them. Even if they lose five games this year, six games, they're not going to stop talking about them.
Well, and even if they lose five or six, it's still incredibly impressive what they're doing. And because it's kind of one of those things, you may not like what he's doing, but he's playing it. He's playing by the rules, and he's making it happen. And it's fun. And I think this. The big thing going on right now is the games had just, they're having, I guess we're just still super early, so nobody's really the top has not really formed. I mean, you're it's kind of crazy that it's still kind of chaotic, but then we've got these blue bloods in the top, like in a way that hasn't happened in a long time in terms of the AP poll. And so you're seeing a lot of old names come back. You got Texas coming back up in there, at USC up in there. It's kind of wild. It's kind of cool to see this stuff, that the names that you and I grew up and over the years, and they're finally starting to kind of come back into the conversation. But man, there is absolutely no telling what this is going to look like in just 3 weeks, because this is just it's been topsy turvy, and we haven't really had that many good games yet. We just had a lot of upsets, and people just haven't looked good. I mean, gosh, Clemson got shellacked by Duke and in just the worst possible way. I mean, that was one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. And so,
I mean, that's got to be is that the worst loss of the Dabo Swinney era? I mean, I think it's got
to
be.
Has to be. There's no way. I mean, unless there's something one of his first couple seasons. But, I mean, they had five trips to the red zone, and they had 7 points. That's bad.
Dabo lucked out. Dabo, I mean, dude, I hate the way he just, I mean, and I get some of it, like you've got to be a coach, you've got to be encouraging and supportive, and I get that part. But man, when you come back and reporters are asking you about an offense where you scored 7 points, they scored 7 points, right, against Duke. I mean, when they're asking you about that and you're just like, man, our offense actually looked really good, like, we're just going to keep doing the same thing. Just shut up. Just absolutely shut up. I mean, that is the most ridiculous thing. I mean, Kirby Smart Kirby would never do that. Kirby is going to be like, look, he probably would point out the one thing that maybe went okay, and then he'd be like, I have 9 things that we need to improve on. He would never just say, if we put up 7 points, I don't care if we were playing the 2019 LSU Tigers. Like, if we put up 7 points, he'd be like, we have so much to work on. And he would tell everybody what we need to work on. I don't know, man. It's wild. Like, you look at the last 2 weeks, and then you're like, who is who? I mean, who is – you were talking about all these, blue bloods. And it's like, man, you're talking about a Texas program that's, for the most part, been dormant for the last decade. You're talking about a Nebraska team who's, like, not at the top, still not there. and maybe never going to get back again. And then you're talking about Michigan, right? So Michigan's another team. I know you and I mean, the reason I want to harp on this is, like, you and I have talked about this. Like, these teams that you and I grew up watching, and technically when we were younger, Alabama wasn't like the Alabama that it is now. I'm talking about, like, you know, early 2000s. I mean, Alabama was not what it is now. And, you know, basically it wasn't for about 10 years after they won the championship in 92. But, so, I mean, you've got some of these, and USC, another team that all of a sudden, all right, they got the Heisman winner. Do they have a defense? I don't know. It doesn't look like it. Even with old Big Bear, whatever his name is, Bear Alexander out there just living his best life in L.A. I don't know, man. It's who would you say, who passes the eye test? And sorry, not to get too far away from, we're going to dive into the dogs here. We just kind of wanted to open up with a little bit of college football, general college football talk. But who passes the eye test for you so far?
Well, let's say it's hard not, and I'm trying to think of what games have been able to watch and things like that. But you have to think that, dude, Florida State looks really good.
Yeah,
I mean, they look legit, and so I've been obviously being closer to that area, you get to hear more about that. But man, I was impressed how they played against LSU. That was they look sharp. I think with one, especially with a rough ACC, it's pretty tough to say they're not going to take it that conference this year and be in contention for the playoff.
Who's going to challenge them in the ACC? I mean, truly. I mean, Miami beat a Texas A&M team who is always overrated. Who's going to beat Florida State? I mean, that, I agree with you. That's the first team that came to mind. And I watched a lot of that game. And man, and Jordan Travis, I've watched him for a few years now. He's a legitimate quarterback. I think he transferred in from Louisville, if I'm not mistaken. He's as athletic as it gets, and he has gotten to be where he is a very accurate passer. They had a very aggressive defense, and Clemson looked like butt. So you put all that together. I mean, unless Miami's going to beat them, and UNC all of a sudden looked like a world beater playing South Carolina, you know, with game day and all that going on. And then all of a sudden, the next weekend, they struggled and have to beat App State in overtime, which App State always plays them close. But still, I don't know, man. I mean, I feel like it's if I were to put money, I don't have any money because we just bought a house. if I were to put money on some futures on a team, it would be Florida State to make the playoff or, you know, win the ACC, something like that. I mean, they looked the part.
Well, And I think, too, the conference doing the best is the conference that's on its last leg. Like, it's about to go away.
Yeah.
The Pac-12
yeah.
has the best record out of any of the Power Five by a mile. And and they've been whipping up on some SEC teams, and they've just about whipped up on every conference so far. And I think Mississippi State won this weekend. They beat Arizona. And so I think that's one of
Auburn barely beat Cal.
That's right.
So, Auburn, you know, some bottom tier SEC teams did beat some bottom tier Pac-12 teams. So I'll give them that.
So we'll go there. But it's all over the place, man. Pac-12 haven't been able to breathe for 15 years, it feels like, and now they just kind of come out of nowhere. But they're giving their one last, their dying breath. They're gonna leave it all out there, but it's
this year
it's
they've had them
well.
Yeah,
it's been a fun time, and I feel good. I'm excited about this season because yes, next season is gonna be so different. But I think one of the things that does get me excited is that we see all this off-season stuff and all this stuff changing. But as soon as the season starts and these games just start happening, a lot of that goes away. And it's just, let's just get back to what we care about and in terms of the getting to watch this game and these guys playing. And so it's a lot of that. There's still a lot of the storylines that are coming around. But this is just fun. When college football starts, it's all bets are off and the real deal starts. So I'm enjoying it.
That's right. That's right. I will say the other team that came to mind whenever I asked you that question about, you know, who passes the eye test is, I'll be honest, I mean, not just because they beat Bama, but Texas, they looked pretty good. They really did. I mean, you don't go in Tuscaloosa, a night game and beat Bama and it just be lucky. I mean, unless you're Ole Miss. I mean, that was, back in the day, the old Chad Kelly experience, right? I mean, that was a little different story. But, Texas did look pretty good. Quinn Ewers, there are people who are talking about that one long ball that he had. Did you see that? Where he just threw it like a mile in the air, and you're like, it's like he's throwing the ball out of the backfield. I mean, out of the back of the end zone. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, that dropped right in the breadbasket. I mean, that was one of the best throws I've seen in college football since our friend Justin Fields against Clemson, and maybe in the national championship or semi, whatever it was that year. Justin Fields threw that ball against Clemson that was just like one of the greatest throws I've seen in the last like 10 or so years. But that throw by Ewers, is that how you say his last name? Is it Ewers?
That's how I say it.
Ewers. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, they kind of passed the eye test. I'm not saying they're like one team in college football. I'm not saying we wouldn't wax their ass. But at the same time, they did look pretty good. We would definitely struggle against that offense. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, well, Chancey, I don't know if you have any more thoughts on the general college football last to date. But I will say I did have one more question. If you had to pick a player right after week two to win the Heisman, who are you picking?
Oh my gosh. I mean, if you have to go with the odds now, or looking at the way that certain guys are playing, it's fun to think that Deion Sanders' son is like one of the front runners right now because he's the best player right now.
He's putting up crazy numbers. It's basically either one of like five quarterbacks or it is Travis Hunter, who's another guy. Playing both sides. Deion Sanders is like, he is him.
That's kind of stuff that's like, we haven't seen that in so long. I mean, it's been forever since a player has done that. And he's doing it well. Like, he is doing it at a high level. And so it's
they had
it's
one fun. Stat that they showed on the game. I can't remember if it was last week or the first weekend. But one stat that they said there's like last players to do this was Champ Bailey. You know, one of the few. Basically, I mean, you're talking about Champ Bailey played both ways, and was it Charles Woodson, right? Didn't he play both ways, or was it him, or was it Desmond Howard? It was a Michigan player, one of those guys up there. But yeah, man, it's crazy. It's wild to see a guy that just is that athletic, and I wish we had him on our team. I do.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how he lasts because that's going to be tough in this time. I mean, the sheer just endurance, and I mean there's not enough words to describe how kind of wild it is. But
you're going to be a freak. Yeah, you're a freak. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Answer the question: Who's your husband pick right now?
Oh God, let's. I feel like you're probably just going to have to go with Caleb Williams again. He's going to put up the dumbest numbers, I think, all season long. So I'm going to go the safe pick and say that Caleb Williams is going to sling it all year long and get it again.
So that's a smart pick because Caleb is not going to trip up ever. Like the whole year, he's going to dominate until bowl season, right? So, I mean, they may make the playoff. I don't know. But there's a good chance that there's a good chance. So Utah has an issue with Cam Rising, their quarterback, who is an incredible player. I've watched him over the last couple of years as well. Cam Rising has been out. And so they've got a situation where are they going to end up beating? I mean, so they got to have him to beat USC, in my opinion. But Caleb Williams, I mean, obviously struggled against Utah last year twice. And so, I mean, that would be the only slip up. But otherwise, like, man, he's going to put up the numbers week in, week out. At some point, Colorado's got to play Oregon and USC back to back, I think at the end of the month. So there's a chance that, like, okay, all of a sudden the Shedeur Sanders stuff is just like gone with the wind, kind of right. I think the guy that I keep leaning on, I mean, we've talked about some of these teams already. To me, I think Jordan Travis has the best chance, other than Caleb Williams, to go ahead and secure that spot. I just feel like they're going to give it to somebody else because they don't want to do back-to-back Heismans. But, you know, he would be not a dark horse pick by any means, but he would be, you know, to me, the alternative to Caleb Williams in this situation. So, just figured out, you know, that's a fun little question, right?
It's kind of crazy that we have gone all this time and then we don't – the nice thing is we're not in – the dogs are not in the news. Everything, we're just kind of riding low here. And so it's nice that we get to talk about the other chaos and then we can come back to our little home.
First 20 minutes. Well, Chancey, give me your opening statements here. I mean, what are your thoughts over the last for the last 2 weeks?
Everybody needs to calm the hell down. Is my opening statement. The big thing is everybody's freaking out. We have had two slow starts, no doubt about it. I think that we have a lot of questions that we need to get answered. I think our defense has played well. I think we're finding ourselves defensively, and we're finding out our front seven. We said it in the season preview. We're going to have to figure out that front seven, and what does that look like. And I think we're playing a lot of guys these first 2 weeks because we're trying to figure that out. And but our secondary looks great. I think our guys are those guys are flying around. Bullard going out is going to be tough. Yeah. We don't know what that's going to look like, so we're hearing about that. But offensively, I think everybody needs to calm down. We don't need to the number of people that wanted Bobo's head on a stake by the second drive was the most irrational thing. It's like people just reverted back to where, like, in like 2009, and I'm just like, everybody calm down. Everybody just take a chill pill.
It's a defensive response at this point.
It's just like, my God, like we're keeping the playbook close to our chest. We're breaking in first time quarterback. We've got new weapons out on the field. We don't have our top running backs. We don't have our top receiver. Like, let me just keep going down the list. Like, we're playing it close to the chest, and we're going to figure it out. But I've been happy with Beck's production. We started to open it up a little bit last week, and so still plenty of questions. That was more statement than you probably wanted, but then also too, special teams looking real fun with Mr. Muse. So I'm excited about special teams as well.
Sorry, I'm still getting used to this house. Like, I'm
all the creaks in
the old house. Like. Yeah, things could be like breaking in half, and somebody be like, "What was that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's no big deal." Sorry, I don't know if it was the air conditioner starting up or what. Sorry. No, dude. If you want, you can have your opening statement go for the rest of the time we have here. I enjoyed listening to it. So, yeah, that's in fact, if you want to just keep going, we'll just run on with it. There has been a lot of overreaction, and that's college football, man. I mean, that's what we were talking about earlier. It's like, that's everybody that watched the first weekend is like, man, Georgia struggled in the first half, and, you know, they didn't play their best game. Like, they're going to be – it's a down year. And then also, you know, we play Ball State, and they're like, oh, it's just cupcake B or whatever, cupcake number two for them. And, you know, Ball State, I mean, late in the season, whenever you're just like, man, I just grasp. Late season, I watch MAC football on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, okay? So that's what I'm just saying. Like, I'm just holding on for dear life because I don't want college football to be done. So I know a little bit about, like, these Ball States and the Kent States and, you know, Central Michigan's, things like that. And, you know, Ball State's, don't get me wrong, they're not a good football team. But at the same time, they are a league ahead of UT Martin. UT Martin is like, I think this is they're an FCS team, right? So anyway, it is what it is. We're playing two games, and I'm thankful. I mean, you probably are too. I'm thankful we were not playing Oklahoma last weekend. Not because I think we would have gotten beat. I mean, but we would not have. There is so much we have to work on. But on top of that, the catalyst is we've got guys that are hurt left and right, man. When you have a guy like Ladd McConkey, you know, coming back, probably him and Brock Bowers obviously being our go-to receivers this year, you know, and thank goodness we are so deep in that position. But at the same time, like, Ladd's a game changer. And then we're having to adapt in ways other than offense. You know, we've got Makai Muse, who's been awesome. I mean, he's been incredible. But, you know, Ladd McConkey's normally our go-to punt returner. But, man, I wouldn't be surprised if Makai just keeps that job. I'll be honest. I mean, the way that – and it's not so much like, okay, he's playing against incredible competition. But Makai, his style of returning punts, he almost looks like old – I mean, I don't know. I think he returned punts. Old Darren Sproles. You remember him? He was like 5'7", played for the Eagles, like dude, and Chargers, and dude, just like he had a sense, and you could see it with Makai, but he had a sense and an agility about him and a quickness to where he can make guys miss and they can't find him on the field because he's so damn short, right? So, it's true, like that plays into it, and so. I don't know, man. You know, you can't, you know, take the last two weeks with a grain of salt, but like just thinking about something like that it pointed that I thought was just really encouraging and made, you know, made me feel better about like our status moving forward is, dude, number zero on offense. I told you whenever we watched G-Day, I said, man, if they gave zero to a true freshman, he must be a bad dude. Roderick Robinson is 240 pounds. I think he's 6'1", 6'2". And don't get me wrong, he's not the fastest guy. But, man, he runs with authority. And I like it. I like what I'm seeing from him. Kendall, dude, I'm going to go back and forth with him every freaking game. Like, there's going to be a game where he just blows it up. But he still is just and he's, you know, got a nagging injury. But I don't know, man. What's your thoughts on the running backs?
Well,
tell me about Dylan Bell getting in there too.
Yeah, I was definitely gonna get to that because we're obviously short with Branson. He's gonna be out all season, and with Kendall being hurt and Dejon, I think we hopefully will expect him to be back this weekend or at least within the next couple weekends. So we were starting to get in, we're used to having just immense depth at that position, and we're starting this season not that way. And Kendall was questionable for the first game, and so, but with that injury, and he definitely seems, I mean, he's had a couple runs, he got out and made some moves, but the dependability there is not there right now on him. But dude, Roderick,
Just real quick on Kendall. My biggest thing on him is he has no side-to-side movement. And I've said that. I said that last year. I think I said it the year before. But he cannot make a guy miss. And if he gets hit, like he can run over a guy, but there's no bouncing off. I mean, Todd Gurley used to bounce off dudes. Nick Chubb was a bowling ball, just boom, 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 boom. I mean, he literally knocked over the whole damn defense. Kendall Milton, I mean, he can run over a guy, but the guy's going to bring him down every single time.
He can't step out of anything either. He gets caught around the ankles, he's going to go down.
He's got to have some level of lateral movement, and that's been my biggest thing with him. I love the fact that he's playing through an injury, and I appreciate that, especially as an upperclassman. I mean, crap, isn't he a senior now? But it's still... Yeah, he's a senior. I mean, that's wild. I mean, crazy. The years go fast. I don't know, man. Sorry, anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just was like thinking about, like, that's my biggest thing with Kendall is that just bugs me so much about his lateral movement. But anyway, or lack thereof.
Well, we do, like I say, Roderick is awesome. And I'm just stoked about him and what he's going to be able to do. And he's starting to show some flashes of that, but it was awesome to see Dylan Bell get back there this weekend. And apparently he said it in after the game that running back's his first love. That's what he used to play.
Played it in high school.
Yeah. But has really been a dependable receiver for us last year. And lined up back there, man. And you're talking about lateral moves. Holy cow! That touchdown run.
Yep. Yeah.
Whole, I mean, he was, that was
If dirty. That's Kendall, that doesn't even happen. He gets a 5-yard gain, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, I was about to say maybe, because he made that first move just a couple yards downfield, and so that he was excited about it. I think they got the team pretty pumped up to see him do that and make those kind of plays. And I mean, he was very particular about ball security. I mean, you see him, he was tight, and he was keeping it tight. He was not going to drop that rock. But then, and so that was fun. And so, I mean, heck, I mean, you probably see him again a little bit this weekend. I mean, this upcoming weekend, because why not? Because he was looking, he played the position well. So depending on if Dejon's coming back or not, we might see him back there again, because that was so I think running back, we just got to get as healthy as we can, because we've got the guys. I don't think there's a doubt about that, but that's the concern. And but it's cool to see somebody like Dylan come in and be able to make plays like that.
Chancey, you know how I can tell you're in the zone? You're holding your pen while you're talking. Are you taking notes over
That's
there?
That's true. I think this is just reflex at this point.
You're just like, yeah, you're pointing this out. I'm like, should I be taking notes? I don't know. Yes. That's hilarious. Man, Dylan Bell getting back there. I texted you guys while we were at the game. You and I, this is the first game that we were able to take in this year. I was there with a boy, Sanye, and you were up in the box. I thought you were going to invite us up there, but I guess not.
I don't like to have a hoard of tickets to
get up there. Hey, I thought you might sneak us up there, okay? We were sitting there, and I texted the group, and I was like, man, 86 is our best running back. And you know, some of that was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but at the same time, his movement, the way he saw the hole, the way he hit the hole, and the way that he bounced it outside without losing stride, you know, accelerated to the end of the corner of the end zone. That's what I look for in a running back. And I feel like Dejon is a pretty similar runner to how Dylan was doing that. Kendall and Roderick are pretty similar in how, I mean, they're big body guys. I mean, they're supposed to, you know. They hit north and they go, right? and you want to see a guy who's able to be a game changer, you know, different than that. I'm not saying we want like a big, you know, a scat back there. We're not going to line Makai Muse back there or anything like that. But I like what we saw from Dylan Bell. I mean, he can be a weapon in a lot of different places. I mean, you can line him up in a running back slot, you can line him up in the X receiver. I mean, you can put him all over the place. But I think he's going to play a little bit of running back this weekend. There's no doubt about that, in my opinion. We also saw number 19 line up in the backfield. Chancey, tell me how that made you feel, because you described it earlier, and I want to hear it again.
Well, there were some tingling sensations that did
that. I didn't know if you were going to say that again.
I was definitely, when I saw him get back there when they broke the huddle and he stepped in that spot, I was audible in how I responded to that. Like, I was grabbing people and I was like, that was
is that what you call audible?
No, that's my Omar.
Is that the Jack Daniels talking about there?
It might have been, because man, I was excited, and because they had talked about it in a presser before the season started, and they were asking him about running back and that kind of thing, and I mean, he gave a Brock Bowers answer, but that was fun. So it was fun. It was fun to see them kind of playing around with that and getting guys pretty hyped up. And obviously he broke out in the field to be able to catch a ball in the backfield. But it was fun to see him out there playing around with that.
Man, I've been looking for a toddler size jersey, Brock Bowers jersey for my son. And man, they just don't. So they made like a they had a Dick's Sporting Goods, like, t-shirt jersey kind of thing, but they didn't make it small enough. I mean, they had just, like, youth sizes, but man, I was just like, he's got to have something before he's gone. Like, I mean, he's going to outgrow it within, like, 2 months, but if he just has that, because, I mean, Brock Bowers is going to the league next year. And I know I said, I think at the beginning of the year, I think I was like, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he you know, just comes back for another year. And I still wouldn't, just because that's the kind of guy he is. But, I mean, he should go to the league next year. Yeah, yeah. So, man, I mean, you know, I was hoping to be able to take my son to the UAB game, but now they announced it for 7:30. So, he may not get to go to a game this year, unfortunately. But yeah, man, I mean, lining Bowers up, I mean, he's going to get a run in that situation. And I'm going to say he's either going to get like 3 yards or he's either going to break it for like 15 yards. He's going to like get 3 yards, hit a guy, run him over, then get 15. I'm going to go with the upper end there. We're going to get the break tackle, go for 15. Chancey, I mean, you know, just looking at last two games, you saw a big difference between week one and week two for Beck. You know, I mean, I wasn't super impressed week one with Beck. I wasn't, you know, over the moon about him in the second week. But I still felt like he had improved on a lot. And he had better – I felt like he just had settled in a little bit better. I mean, it's week two, right? I mean, so, I mean, hopefully he's got that one game behind him. He's able to have that on his belt. He went through the, you know, film over the week. You know, he went through practice over there. I mean, just go through the motions, right? And then all of a sudden, you're back under the lights, except for it's a noon game. It's a noon game, right? And so you're back in Sanford Stadium, and so you got time to just digest things a little bit more. It felt like he was a little bit more comfortable in the pocket, in my opinion.
Well, I felt it first game that we didn't really give him enough opportunities to throw the ball down the field. And in this game, we started to do that a little more. We started the game out, weren't doing that, or he wasn't taking those opportunities. But the guy can throw the ball down the field. That ball to Arian Smith that he threw when he was coming across and hit him about at the 10-yard line, you're talking about a beautiful ball. That was perfect. And so he's got the ability and he's better throwing the ball down the field, in my opinion. Or that's where he shines. And so I think part of it, there's definitely a big, to me, a pretty sizable jump between week one and week two. And I think it's only going to get better. And I think there's almost a playing down to your competition kind of thing that ends up happening in the psyche with this. But next week, I mean, going into this, the environment's going to be electric. We're going to really see how does he respond to that, to that kind of environment, to that kind of atmosphere. And the play calling is going to be different too. I mean, what we've seen has not been who we are as
very vanilla. And that's by design,
right? And so we're not going to play our cards against Ball State or UT Martin. And so a lot of it's getting a lot of young guys out there, just trying to get some guys to test some things out. But I mean, you're not seeing like our receivers being out there for a long period of time and things like we're not going through what our offense is truly going to be. And so I almost feel like our season starts this week, and we've had two preseason games basically to get us warmed up, and now this is really when things get started. So we're going to start to see what is Beck capable of, and talent wise I'm very comfortable with where he's at. I mean, he's got the arm. He's got the ability. So there's no real question there. I think it's him trying to find himself and figure this out. And so the big thing is your playmakers are going to be out there. You're going to we put the ball in everybody's hands last week. I forget, at one point we were like six guys had ran the ball and 8 guys had caught a pass. I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, everybody yeah. was getting in on it, and we'll still have some of that, but our true offense is going to come out on the field this upcoming week.
Yeah. I mean, just somebody that we hadn't even really mentioned is Rosemy, right? I mean, that's a guy who came back. Kirby made him a captain last weekend because he said, all right, look, like, hey, we know you're a leader on this team. You know, I mean, I think he knew and he acknowledged that he made a mistake, came back, and he knew that he needed to be an upperclassman and a leader in this game. And surely he showed that during the week. And then Kirby said, hey, you know, he's going to be a captain this weekend. And I thought that was a very telling gesture to do that. And I tell you, number one is going to be a game changer this whole year. I mean, I love the way he plays, love the way he blocks. He's probably our best blocking receiver. And I don't know, man, Ladd's pretty dang good at his size, right? You know, we're going to be more aggressive, I think, in offense. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I will say the one time that I felt the shutters. Now, I'm not anti-Bobo. I'm not, like, I don't have this, like, reflex where I'm, like, booing that guy. Because I saw the evolution of Bobo. Because at first, I did not like him. I mean, he had a very vanilla offense early on in his tenure as offensive coordinator at Georgia. And it morphed. And we saw to where he had, what did he average, like, 42 points a game in 2012 or 11, thereabouts? Obviously, he knows what he's doing. But he's not taking that playbook. We don't have a fullback anymore, Chancey. I mean, there's no lining up in our formation. We don't do that anymore unless there's a tight end back there and also a defensive tackle because we're about to run jumbo. This is not the same offense. I mean, some people are just like, it's just like a twitch. Like, they just have to, like, fire my bobo, you know? I'm just like, man, everybody calm down. He's basically running Todd Monken's offense. But there was one time where we ran a draw on first down, and I was just like, oh, God. Because it felt like the Mike Bobo. Yeah, and I just had that reaction to it. But I think we're going to just open it up. And South Carolina, man, I mean, Spencer Rattler will probably make some plays. He probably will. But he's one of those guys that he's night and day. And for whatever reason, he plays his worst against us. And he's apt to throw more balls to number 24 on defense than he is to touchdowns to his own team. So, their offensive line is so bad. And a lot of people have... it's so bad. They gave up like 8 sacks to North Carolina. And I'll put it this way, Chancey. Last year, people had the same narrative about our defense last year, that we could not get pressure on the quarterback. And go back and look at the box scores. I looked at them earlier. We had 1 sack over 2 games, right? 1 sack over 2 games. You don't have to sack the quarterback. You know what we did? We had 10 tackles for loss. We had, I don't know, I mean, they don't keep this statistic on ESPN, but I mean, we had a lot of QB pressures. All you got to do is have the effect on the quarterback. You don't have to bring him to the ground. And I can guarantee you we're going to get more sacks and more pressure on the quarterback this week. It's going to be very aggressive. I have a lot of faith in Will Muschamp and Glenn Schumann. I mean, those guys have been doing it for a long time. I had a friend tell me about how, you know, Dabo Swinney, you know, kept all his coordinators and, like, had all this. They loved him and they loved working for him. Well, guess what? All the coordinators and all the assistant coaches for Clemson have gone, and Kirby still has some of the same guys that he started with, still working for him. And I think that's a testament. I just want to be like, man, what were you talking about, Kirby? They know it's hard. I mean, I completely believe that it is very hard to work for Coach Kirby Smart. But damn if he doesn't just get the best out of these guys. So, I don't know, man. This game plan is going to be very heavy on the pressure on the quarterback. I hate that we're going to be missing Javon. I mean, you did say he's going to be out this week, or it's anticipated that he is?
We haven't gotten official word, but each day that passes, I think Kirby, presser for after today's practice got posted after we started recording, so we haven't had a chance to watch, but it ain't looking good. So he didn't practice much yesterday, and I don't think he did much today at all either. So he did say by Wednesday we should know. So if that's the case, then I doubt we're going to see him. If for some reason he's needed, he may come in, but I hope we're where we don't have to have him.
Javon is a hell of a player. And he is a key player in our defense. But, man, David Daniel, still a very solid player. Dan Jackson can get back there and play. Tyke Smith, man, how about him over the last two games? He's turning into that former, you know, All-American player that he was at West Virginia. I've been very impressed with 23. I've been very impressed with our linebacking core. I mean, his smile came back and you know, coming off of an injury, he's kind of been playing a little bit sparingly, but Smile Mundon is a top-tier linebacker. Dumas, leader of the defense, top-tier linebacker himself. We've got this new guy, C.J. Allen. Holy cow, man. He's the real deal. You don't play. He's wearing 33 like old, what's his name?
Beal.
Odell Thurman. Yeah.
Thurman.
Wait, what did you say?
I was going the wrong one. But yes, Odell.
You say Ellerby? Yeah. Well, you know, Ellerby was a hell of a linebacker himself. But yeah, I mean, you know, he's got the 33 on. He looks good out there. You don't play as a true freshman at middle linebacker in Kirby Smart's defense and not be a just stud. So I'm excited to see what he's going to be, you know, moving forward. You know, I'm a defensive guy. You know, I'm watching some of these guys. Julian Humphrey has looked good in the time he's been out there. Dalen Everett's been, you know, the opposite of Kamari, who you don't even hear Kamari's name. It's like, you know, every year we have this one cornerback that you just don't ever hear their name. You know, it's like Baker, you know, it's Eric Stokes, you know, and it's because they just shut those guys down. It's awesome. Anyway, I'm sorry. I know I'm talking about these newcomers, and I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about somebody. But who's been impressing you as a new guy on the team?
Well, I've been excited. I guess they're not technically a freshman, but I'm excited about Lovett, man, receiver. Yeah. I think he's gonna do. I think he's gonna be a great addition to the team. He seems to have stepped in, and we've thrown the ball to him quite a few times, and I've been a couple of balls weren't great that he had to try to catch, or he route wasn't quite right or whatever it was, but I'm excited about him. And because like I told you at the beginning of the season, man, our receiving core, I think just the sheer number of receivers we've got and just the pure talent, I'd put our receiving core against a lot of other teams' receiving cores just in terms of depth and variety in terms of guys and what they can do. You're talking about having Roseme back. Once we get Ladd back, Lovett showing out. Dylan's still a great addition and potential with Ra-Ra. But I like Lovett, and I think he's going to be a go-to guy this season. So once we start opening things up.
I do like Lovett. Lovett looks – he looks the part. I mean, he really does. He's a very athletic receiver. He's not super tall, but he's the kind of guy that's going to be able to make a play in a crunch time situation. I think, you know, a guy that I'm looking to have a big game this weekend is Mikel. We need that pressure. I mean, you're going to have it with a running quarterback like Spencer Rattler or, you know, a dual threat guy. But man, it's like I said earlier. I mean, with Rattler and that offensive line, good gracious. But with Rattler, I mean, he's one of those guys. If you get him off his path, I mean, he is a guy. He's gonna throw. He's gonna have turnovers. He really is. So I'm hoping old Malachi is gonna come up there and get a couple of snags in the defensive backfield on him and turn flip the field, if you will.
Speaking of Malachi, I didn't want to forget this story. So if you go back and watch the first game, he tried to make that interception, that one-handed pick, and Kirby chewed him out. I mean, he went turbo on him like immediately, and you can see Kirby just doing this right here, like, and you can see him saying, well, he added some other words, but he was saying two hands. He was like, get two hands on it. And then next week, turns around and has the beautiful pick, puts two hands on it. I think he even says something about it after the game. But very coachable guy is.
He's a 40-year-old man, so Malachi's got the stash and everything. I mean, he's just he's a hell of a player. He's a great talent. I mean, there's a reason that he was a preseason All-SEC guy. I think some. If I'm not mistaken, I mean, some people were putting him as a preseason All-American, which I wouldn't be surprised, man. He's that good at what he does. We've seen so many guys. I mean, that's the thing about playing two, you know, teams that are obviously lower tier, you know, in these first two games. You get to see a lot of players. And so we're able to see. I mean, I'm looking at the box score for the Ball State game. And I mean, the list of defensive players that played or you know, had a tackle or, you know, were on the stat sheet is just incredible. You know, I mean, there's not a guy on that defense that I don't have some faith in. And the thing is, like, we got all these upperclassmen. I know we mentioned in the preseason, preview. You know, we got so many upperclassmen on this defensive line. I mean, we just have to have a guy who can solidify the middle. I mean, Nazir's been playing a little bit of that. We saw Brinson play really well off the defensive end side. I mean, it's guys, they're going to make plays. I think that the atmosphere, I mean, I think we might be kind of not even, I mean, the fact that we haven't really mentioned it, but, you know, the atmosphere this weekend, 3:30 CBS game against South Carolina, it's going to be a packed stadium. This is going to be, I mean, if you look at our home schedule this year, this is one of like two or three games that everybody's going to come to. And I think we'll have 92,476 plus in this. Is that right? Is that the number? I think so. You know, we're going to have probably, I mean, hopefully a packed stadium for this weekend.
No, it'll be wild for sure.
There's not a guy. I mean, you know, I've talked a lot about the defense, but the offense has obviously been incredible. Brock Bowers is, we don't talk enough about him, but it, you know, a lot of this, you know, our progress, really a lot of it hinges on number 15. And how he's going to be able to handle this kind of atmosphere. Thank goodness our first SEC game is at home. We're going to find out a lot about him this weekend. We're going to find out even more whenever we go to the Plains, you know, at the beginning of October. Or I guess that's the very end of September. But, man, it's right now we're still the number one team in the country. AP-wise, coaches poll has us at the number one team. I kind of thought that after the first week they might have downgraded us a little bit, but I mean, there's a lot of pretenders in that top 10. There's a lot of pretenders in the whole top 25. But man, I still feel like this team has so much to prove. But at the same time, you know the talent level's there. You know the production can be there, and it's going to come this weekend, in my opinion.
Well, and we see it every. We see it. Saw it last year. Like I said, we had Kent State and did not play well that game. You have a Missouri game that we kind of were slow and sluggish, and those are going to happen. I mean, you just play that many games, it's going to happen at some point. This team, you're exactly right. We've got a lot to prove, and our guys want to let it go. I mean, they know that we've got a team that wants to just go out there and let it rip, and we haven't been able to do that. And you got. I mean, we're just chomping at the bit to show our true colors and to show what we're really capable of. And so I think we've got enough guys on this team to not let the moment get too big. And I'm thankful that it is South Carolina and it is Spencer Rattler because it gives us plenty of opportunities to make him look not good. Because like I said, he does not play well against us. So I don't think, and based off what I've seen so far, I don't want us to get. I think the nice thing is we're not going to get lulled to sleep with them. We're going to be excited to play an SEC team, and ready to get going. So I'm ready to see Beck just kind of let it rip. And he's made good decisions up to this point. I don't think he's made a bad decision. He probably hasn't made the best decisions, but he hasn't made too many bad decisions. And so like his pick this past weekend wasn't his fault. It was kind of a tip ball at Bell. Yeah. Just yeah. Really. It kind of didn't happen the way you would expect it. But anyway, we'll learn a lot this weekend. We'll start to kind of hit our groove and find out what we're really made of.
Beck has thrown some good balls. I mean, I don't want to discount what he's done, but I mean, man, he's got to be on point this weekend, and we're gonna see what he's made of. We really are. I think top to bottom, you know, offensively, we can be better. I mean, and it's tough to say that. We've obviously scored – we're averaging, you know, 46.5 points, right, you know, over the last two games. I think that Beck, if he gets an early touchdown, I mean, we've been kind of poor in the first quarter, right? I mean, if he gets an early touchdown and is able to kind of, you know, getting his groove early. I mean, I think we're going to make a big, it's going to make a big difference for him. So, got to, I don't know a single player on the South Carolina defense this year, which is saying something. I mean, normally they have a defensive tackle. Normally they have a cornerback. I don't know any of them. And I don't know if that's just poor preparation on my part, but, it's one of those things that they got shredded by North Carolina. I can't remember who they played this weekend. I think they played a cupcake like we did. But, man, we've got to take advantage of the opportunities we get early. If we get a halftime lead, you're feeling good about yourself. But, I mean, hey, Chancey, we have the longest home winning streak in the country right now as of last week because of Alabama losing to Texas. They had lost to LSU in 2019. We lost to, guess what? We lost to South Carolina in 2019. That was the last home loss. We've got to just conquer those demons, take care of business, and I feel good about our game plan this week. I don't know what wrinkles Bobo is going to throw in there, but he's going to silence some doubters this weekend.
Just give it a 19. It works.
He's so good.
He's the best at everything.
He's just Mr. Mackey himself.
That's why every time he gets the ball, I like to yell out. I'm like, he's better than you. He's better than you at everything. And you can't do anything about it. And that's, I love it so much.
He truly is a game changer. He's going to get you. People have been talking about how he's been underutilized the last two games. And I was like, people. It's like you said, man. I mean, people just got to calm down. Number 19 is going to get his balls. He's absolutely going to get the ball. And he's going to get his touchdowns. He's going to get his touches. But, man, he's a special player. We're watching him just, I mean, he does whatever he wants whenever he gets the ball in his hands. So, hoping he teaches some lessons to the South Carolina boys. But the one thing I hate is that we got some guys miss. I mean, we're basically anticipating Ladd's going to be out, right? Thankfully, Dejan is supposed to be back this weekend. And then we also have Javon is likely out as well. So, you know, those are some big names. But other than that, fairly intact, fairly healthy. Going to bring a couple more guys back. And I think we're going to put a best foot forward this weekend and take care of business.
I agree. Well, looking forward to seeing you this weekend. I think we'll both be in attendance. Or at least you live up in Athens, so I'll at least get to see you at some point. But anyway, I'm excited. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Everybody get out there early. Let's get a little tailgating. Get some brewskis going. You know, get to feeling good. Let's get to the stadium early. Get loud. There was one thing. There was a South Carolina guy, Tonka, I think is his name. And some reporter asked him, and this was like some media, like press thing or whatever today, I think, or yesterday. They asked him, what's been the most difficult environments that you have played in kind of thing? And he was like, he's like, Texas A&M was pretty hard and Tennessee and left it at that. And Kirby mentioned him by name and was just like, yeah, I think old Tonka is going to, I think he gave us a little bit of motivation. And I think, you know, we've been challenging our crowd, our fans, for a long time now, and they've never really let us down. And you know, it's kind of what he said. I said, hey, we'll be there, baby. We'll be there.
Coach only asked me to do one thing, and I'm going to do it.
Yeah. He doesn't ask much from us, but man, we're going to yell our little hearts out.
Let's do it.
That sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Well, hopefully I'll see you before the game. At least, you know, even if it's us heading to our seats for a couple minutes. Are you you sitting down with the poor folks this weekend, or are you going to be up in the box?
I'm a poor man.
Hey, well, if that's the case, then I'll be on that side of the stadium. So let's get together at some point and talk about how the dog's going to get it done.
Let's make it happen.
All right, boy. Go Dogs.
Dogs on top.